Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, I know how this is going to look. I know how this is going to sound. I don't care. I have to share what it is that I'm thinking for this show to be genuine at all and worthwhile to anyone. Good morning to you. Good Thursday morning from New York. I'm Dejan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Pirates. It comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into football and or hockey, I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Penguins in the same place that you found this. Mets 9, Pirates 1. The final score isn't the issue. Bailey Falter pitched fine again. All he gave up was a two-run homer to our old friend Starling Marte, who, by the way, hit that home run off a curveball, something he hadn't done in 4 years. So what Falter came through with was pretty much what you've been getting from him all along since that debacle of a first inning in Miami. And after that, it just doesn't matter because they're not hitting and they don't hit. And I don't have too many other ways to bring this subject up. I know it comes up all the time on this show. I know I spent probably a third of the offseason on various subjects that had something to do with this. But when you see the team have productive games early in the season, you want to believe. I want to believe. I'm sitting here ready to give credit not only to the individuals going into the box, but also to the individuals instructing, advising, or even just providing stats and video work for them. I'm ready to do that. I am eager to do that. I'm not on some kind of crusade. But when it doesn't happen, or when you look at the first 2 weeks of the season and you say, well, they've scored a pretty decent amount of runs there. And you see that in some cases, they're top 10 in this or top 10 in that. I go straight for the underlying metrics, not to look for negatives, but to look for whatever happens to be there. And when I get there, I find a batting average on balls in play of 375, which is so abnormally, grossly high that it is a literal mathematical impossibility for that number to not get back to where it belongs. If you don't know what that means, batting average on balls in play, the cutesy acronym for it is BABIP. And it's a luck determiner. It means you put the ball in play somewhere, meaning anywhere other than over the fence, because that's obviously not in play. That's, you know, not playable anymore. It's gone. Ball in play. finds grass, finds dirt. You get on base. It doesn't matter if it's fielding assisted, if there's an error attached. It just doesn't matter. You've put the ball in play and you've gotten on. Eliminates all variables, all human judgment. The water's level with that equation is 300. And by that, I don't mean for the Pirates. I don't mean for the teams that are good or bad or whatever. I mean for everybody. If every team in the majors had this statistic weighed out over the course of, like, I don't know, 10 years, they'd all be right at 300. It's an amazing figure. If you're over 300, you've gotten really lucky. If you're way under 300, you're due for some serious luck. The Pirates were at 375. This was always going to come crashing back down. Always. And it has. The Pirates strike out more often than any team in Major League Baseball. Not over this recent span, over the full season. That was there all along as well. Kind of creeping back there. It was hidden by some other stuff. But it was there, and it's still there. They average, you're not going to believe this, 10.0 strikeouts per game. Again, not just here in New York where they got swept. This is through the entire season, 10.0 strikeouts per game. Their exit velocity, and I know that term can turn some people off. What's that mean? Why do we need that? But just because it's new. Deal with it. We've been talking about how hard they throw pitches forever. This is just how hard they hit those pitches. That's all. It just has a term. Exit velocity. That's all. Any hitter since the dawn of time would tell you that they prefer to hit the ball hard versus hitting it soft. Again, nothing new about this metric. If we had Hannes Wagner as a guest on this show right now, he'd go, oh yeah, man, exit velocity. That sounds good by me. At which point I would ask the Dutchman to sign one of those rookie cards for me. But anyway, I digress. The Pirates' exit velocity is the lowest in the majors. Out of 30 teams, they are 30th. They hit the ball more weakly than any other team anywhere in the majors. And I'm talking about, again, when they put it in play. This doesn't count strikeouts as like zero or something. Okay, this is just when they actually make contact. They make the worst contact. Not in this series that was played here. In the entire season. It's been there all along. And you know what else has been there all along? All of these various patterns, including the ones where individually you don't see players improve. You don't see players come out of slumps, at least not until they go and ask for advice from somewhere else. And where young players are concerned, you just don't see anything. It doesn't matter if it's a Leiver Peguero who comes up and he's sizzling hot in the minors and he'll look really good for a week or two in Pittsburgh and then he's just absolutely nothing. It doesn't matter if it's someone who's more off the radar than Leiver, and it doesn't even matter if it's a number one overall bleeping pick. They all have the same ledgers. And you want to know why? Yeah, that's why. Because Andy Haynes is still employed as the hitting coach of the Pittsburgh Pirates. When we come back, J1Q.
This portion of Daily Shot of Pirates is brought to you by our friends at North Shore Tavern. That's directly across Federal Street from PNC Park. It's home of Steak on a Stone, an eating experience, underscoring the word experience. The steak is brought to you partially cooked on an 800-degree stone, and you do the rest. It's a ton of fun, it's a great meal, and it's a baseball atmosphere like no other in Pittsburgh. North Shore Tavern, right across Federal Street from PNC Park.
Today's J1Q comes from Alexander. Not surprisingly, it's on the same subject. By the way, in this series, just so you don't think that strikeout statistic I shared with you was some sort of outlier,
The Pirates struck out 30 times. They played three games here. They struck out 30 times. This is what they do. They strike out 10 times a game. And this is okay with the people running this franchise. Alexander asks, so many people right now, DK, aren't doing their part at the plate. Why wasn't Andy Haynes fired like last August? Alexander, to give you the proper answer to your very fair question that I'm sure you knew would be well received on this program, I have to tell people who don't already know this, because this is important, that the Pirates in this moment have two hitters that they can really count on in that lineup. And I'm talking about just on an everyday basis. And you know who they are. One's Brian Reynolds and the other's Ke'Bryan Hayes. What people who might be new to baseball, and I'm always trying to respect that on this show. I don't assume everybody's been following either the Pirates or the sport forever. What they might not know is that Key wasn't this even a year ago. There were all kinds of questions about Key, especially about his offense. I don't think anybody's ever going to worry about that glove. And then one day, Key got into contact with John Nunnally, who was the hitting coach with AA Altoona. Nunnally, of course, was also a former big league ball player, most notably with the Reds. And Nunnally gave him some tips, gave him some advice. They continued to have conversations. Most of this, I'm told, was through text, but there was also some in-person interaction, which hilariously had to be done through some sort of subterfuge or behind the scenes and not known to anybody, because that's just not okay, I guess, in the Ben Cherington culture for whatever reason. I wasn't about to say baseball culture if you thought no. In normal, healthy environments, the hitters are urged to find help wherever they can. They're a little bit more careful about it with pitchers, but with hitters, it's like, no, just get it from anywhere. The year that Adam Frazier made the run at the batting title, he was still in Pittsburgh. He went to his dad. His dad found something that he was doing a certain way that he was holding his hand on the bat that didn't align with the way he used to hold it in high school. He tells Adam this. Adam goes on this ridiculous tear the year he went to the All-Star game. But this is different. This wasn't a dad. This wasn't someone with whom you'd be in regular contact. This was someone within the organization. And oh no, something was broached. And something was broached in a way that would make the major league hitting coach look bad, and in turn would make the Pirates brass look as if they're employing maybe the wrong person as the major league hitting coach. The season doesn't even end, and Nunnally's fired. And nobody anywhere denies that Nunnally was fired for that reason. Now, I could do the next 20 minutes of this show, stretch this out forever, and tell you the what that's involved in this process, but you just heard the why. You heard it lived out. Cherington made a decision that for whatever reason, he feels as if he has to live and die by, meaning both Haynes and, of course, pitching coach Oscar Marin, who's obviously having a much, much better start to his season than Haynes is. I'm not sure why that is. As I see it, if you're the GM, you're running baseball operations. What's so bad about firing a hitting coach? Everybody does this. Ask the Brewers. They fired Andy Haynes. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening. Daily Shot of Pirates, and we're going to do another one of these when I get back home tomorrow.